Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with all of you here today. We're going to start diving into God's Word together. If you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to be in chapter 19 as we continue our series on hearing God's voice. When we talk about hearing God's voice, I think sometimes listening for His voice can come in clear ways. Sometimes it seems obvious, potentially. Maybe it's something like this. You ask God for a sign, and you get the stop, no left, no right, like just stop in your tracks. There's absolutely no arguing with what it is that He's communicating. It's that clear. Sometimes, though, I think when we hear and we receive from God, maybe we don't actually hear much back at all. We ask and we ask and we ask, and we pray and we pray and we pray, but it seems like all we get back is silence, and sometimes maybe it even feels a little bit like this, as though you're talking to a wall. Really glad that we had this talk, God. Thank you. For those of my social media followers, maybe it feels as though God is ghosting you, that He's leaving you with your message that you sent just unread. I think if we're honest, there are times that God does speak in that loud voice, times that He gives us that direction that we know so clearly. We're like, I know this is what God is saying. And yet so often there are those times where He seems silent. And I wonder if that has more to do with us than it does with Him, in the sense that we're just not listening. And maybe often there's this small voice or this whisper that God is trying to give us. He's trying to communicate with us. But because we don't know how to listen, we miss it. In the Old Testament, in that book of 1 Kings, where we're going to go together, we're introduced to this idea of the still small voice of God, or as some translations put it, the whisper of God, or even some will say the sheer silence of God. In the passage that we're going to read, we read about the prophet Elijah, and he's currently fleeing for his life from Queen Jezebel. And there's feelings, actually, even though he's just come from this great spiritual victory, of great depression and heaviness. And he's seeking to hear from God. So let's read together in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, starting in verse 9. It says this, "And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altar, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great wind tore through the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." Elijah is seeking to hear from God, and he asks Him to speak to him. Elijah goes through this great storm, but God does not speak in the storm. He goes through an earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. He goes through the great fire, but God is not in the fire. And then Elijah finally hears in this still small voice, this whisper, the sheer silence, the voice of God. This still small voice is often described as our inner voice. It refers to our thoughts and, to a certain extent, the feelings that we have, the experiences that we go through. If this is the case, how is it that we know God is speaking, and how do we actually hear this whisper? Let me today suggest four ways for us that we can hear, and more importantly, listen to the whisper of God. The first is this: be aware. We need to be aware that God is speaking in this way. How many of us believe that God is actually speaking to us on a daily basis? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is actually seeking to speak to you daily, that he is whispering to you? See, God's not limited to these big, powerful shows and experiences in the way that he speaks to us. He's actually speaking to us through this whisper constantly. Are you listening? Like Elijah, I think many of us only seek to hear from God in ways that we've heard from him before. It's not random that Elijah goes to Mount Horeb to hear from God. I believe he went to this particular spot because it's actually the same place, the same mountain, Mount Sinai, where God had spoken in powerful ways to Moses previously. And Elijah would have known that. He would have known that this is where Moses had his encounter with the burning bush when God spoke to him. He would have known that this was the same place where the Ten Commandments were received. Mount Horeb would have brought these thoughts and feelings of God showing great displays of power. And because of this place, Mount Horeb would have recalled this picture of a powerful God who spoke to his people. So when the Lord responds to Elijah and calls him, "Step outside of the cave, Elijah," I wonder what he must be thinking here. Yes! Here we go again. Here we go. And a big wind comes. And I wonder if he's thinking, yes, God's going to be in this wind. But nothing. And then the earthquake comes, and I wonder if Elijah's now thinking, okay, surely this is God. But he wasn't in the earthquake. And then the fire, and is he thinking, yes, another burning bush conversation, but this is a big fire and God's going to speak to me. But God's not in the fire. Elijah was looking for God to speak to him in ways that he knew he had spoken before. How many of us do the same thing? I know for me growing up, camp, and specifically Camp Camisole, was a very important place in my life, a very special place for me. Places where I really do feel, and I know in my heart, and I believe full-heartedly that God spoke to me there. God did good things. And because of that, there was always this anxiousness to get to camp. If something was going on in my life, I knew that once I got to camp, God was going to reveal himself to me. I'll just wait until summer, till July, whatever, what's coming up, because that's where God moves. That's where I experience God, in camp. That is where I need to be. And there was this expectation that if I could only be in camp, then I would hear from God. Many of us do this. We seek to recreate experiences where God has met us in the past. And here's the thing. By doing that, we miss out on the daily ways that God seeks to speak to us. We must be aware that God isn't limited to some big show or expression of speaking to us, but that he is speaking to us all the time. When Randall preached a few weeks ago, he gave us a great way to think about this, and Sheldon even prayed about it this morning and drawed attention to it, the penny in a shoe. The idea being that this penny, if we were to put a penny in our shoe, you're going to feel it and you're going to notice it, right? And what if you did that, and every time that you noticed that penny, what if you just stopped and paused and said, God, is there something that you would like to say to me? God, what are you teaching me? I wonder how many of us have done that and have actually gone through and now noticed. I've had that in my shoe and being able to just pause and notice and say, God, what are you doing? And if you've not done that, I want to encourage you to join in with us in doing that because it's a great way to be aware that God is speaking. And so I brought a bunch of pennies today, and when you leave, back at the back doors there by the offering. If you want to take a penny, because you don't have any anymore, I had tons, and so I brought them. And take a penny and put them in your shoe. And be aware that God is speaking all the time. We just need to learn how to discern his voice, how to tune into that frequency. Be aware that God wants to speak to us. Be eager to hear from him and to respond when he does. We must be listening. So there's the second thing. Be attentive. When God spoke to Elijah, it came in this way that he didn't expect. In order for Elijah to hear the still small voice, he had to listen intently. We too must listen intently. But the barrier that often holds us back from listening is distractions that fill our ears, the noise of life. Mark Batterson says this, God often speaks loudest when we are silent. If you want to hear the voice of God, silence is key. However, silence is often perceived in our culture as an emptiness, isn't it? An absence. And so what do? We seek to fill our lives with noise, with busyness, social media notifications, Netflix binging, overthinking, constantly being surrounded by others, overloading our calendars. Those are just a few of many ways that we avoid silence. We do this because we associate noise with productivity and busyness. We value fullness in our schedules. If I have a free space in my schedule, often the question is, how will I fill that, or what will fill that? Not how do I keep it empty and silent. We fill the silent moments with whatever we can, music, radio, TV, instant messaging, phone calls, etc. Instead of washing the dishes in silence, we multitask. If you're like me, I'm singing and I'm dancing in the kitchen with my daughter. Come on, let's go. I love it. But we don't just love the silence. Instead of just being in our car, there's an opportunity in a way for some silence there. But we love to fill it with music or with podcasts or returning phone calls, following up on messages. Our lives have this way of having these countless frequencies that play different messages all the time. And think about this. If I have all these frequencies that are coming in, say I'm sitting down and I'm listening to multiple radio stations, I have the TV on, I'm on my phone, I'm texting, I'm checking my fantasy scores, I'm trying to talk to my wife, my daughter's playing, she's trying to talk to me. With so many things that are going on, how much is actually coming in? I can't ever really focus on just one frequency and one message because there are so many that are competing for my attention. You cannot hear God's whisper when your life is so full of other voices. So let me ask you two questions. What deafens you from being able to hear God? What's one noise this week that you could cut out of your daily schedule or week so that you could maybe hear the voice of God more clearly? What's one thing that could just take out? Maybe that's having the radio on in the car. Maybe that's setting limits or boundaries about when you have a phone on or off or checking messages. Maybe it is doing a chore or something in silence. God is speaking all the time, but we're often too busy to notice. We need to make ourselves available to hear from God. God longs to speak to us and move us to obedience. So the third thing is this, be available. One thing that can help us listen intently is to find a whispering spot. And so this goes with being attentive. Mark Batterson defines a whispering spot in this way. Somewhere you go to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is a little louder and a little clearer in those places. Now, as Batterson would note, it's important for us to remember this. God is present at all times, and God is present in all places. But the significance of having a whispering spot is that it allows us to actually be more intentional to tune into the voice of God. If we want to hear the voice of God, again, silence is key. Silence helps us to actively listen to God, to pray, to confess, to lay down burdens, to read scripture, to give thanks, to listen. The goal here is to create a space for God to speak. What could be a whispering spot for you? And here's a few questions that could help with that. Are there certain places that help you feel more connected to God? Is there a place that you feel at peace or you feel that connectedness? What kind of things keep you from being still or quiet before God? I read that we are prone to be interrupted every 3 minutes. That's our life. Every 3 minutes, we experience interruptions in our life. Where is a place that you can get alone? Where is a place where you can remove distractions? When do you find moments of silence in your daily routine already? There's laughter. Like, that doesn't exist. Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. But is there a place where there is actually just a little bit of silence? Or is there a way or a place that you can create that? Recently, we get together as a staff to pray every Tuesday morning. And I felt God actually kind of impress upon me and speak to me in this way. We are taking some time to just say, listen to God and see what he might be saying. And so I was sitting here, and as I was asking God that question, I looked outside, and it was cold, and it was snowy. And I was like, I'm glad I'm inside. But I really felt God press upon me, Jason, I want you to get back into, so I have a dog, his name's Pixar, we love him greatly. My rhythm, up to about probably throughout the last 8 months, has been to walk him early morning before I started my day. The first thing I would do is get out, and I'd go and I'd walk him. And God said, go back and do that. Like, no, look at it outside. It's cold. It's snowy. Do we have to resume this now? And God said, yes. Why? I think because it can be a whispering spot for me. I don't want to be on my phone out in the cold, which is one of my greatest distractions. So I can worry, I don't have to worry about that. I'm free from other voices or other things that are going on, and I can just have that time of quiet to be able to stop, to pause, and to listen. What is a place for you that can be a whispering spot? Dallas Willard says, recognizing God's voice is something that we must learn to do through our own personal experience and experimentation. Be willing to practice. Be willing to fail. Just like anything else in life, if we're going to do this and hear the voice of God, we need to practice. And Randall's really been challenging us on that, and it's been good for me just to practice and to get into it and to realize sometimes it goes well, sometimes not so well. But we need to be willing to practice, to learn to recognize the voice of God. Last thing, be assessing. We need to be aware that not all the things we hear or receive are from God. And maybe you've already asked yourself this question. Okay, if this is this still, small inner voice, how do I actually know that that is God who is speaking to me? That it's not just my own thoughts, my own intuitions, that it's not just something else that I've heard and something that's coming to mind. How do I know that it's not from Satan? How do we know that this inner voice is truly from God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 tells us this. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When I choose to place my faith in God, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. That is in me, and it begins to bring my mind into one with Christ. The late Billy Graham used an illustration for what this might look like to be continuously filled with the Spirit. He tells of a lake on the property where he lives. And the lake is spring-fed, and because of that, the water is always fresh and clear. He uses that lake being spring-fed as an illustration of what the Holy Spirit filling us continuously looks like. As the Holy Spirit fills the believer, he pushes out all of that junk and other stuff that shouldn't be there. He brings us things that are good and pure. The spring becomes like the fresh water. As we spend time abiding in God, building that relationship with him, he renews our minds and realigns our thoughts. Think of the whole idea of a whisper again. If I am to hear someone whispering, what does it require me to do? It requires me to be close. It requires me to lean in. Whispering itself denotes intimacy, being close to one another. And I believe this is what God is communicating to Elijah and to us, that if we are to hear the still small voice of God, we need to lean into him to build an intimate relationship, which means I know him and he knows me. My thoughts become like his. I can trust my thoughts that God is leading me in that inner voice because I am becoming like him. As I abide in God, his Spirit grows in me. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says that the Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father and that the Spirit is alive in every believer. Because of this, God's thoughts are communicated to us through the Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit living in us, our thoughts are God's, and are now God, his thoughts and our thoughts are now intermingled. God desires to speak to us in the most basic way in which you were created. This comes from Sean Bowles. In other words, he made our minds to align with his will. He wants to speak to us through our thoughts. Put another way, our thoughts are not thoughts, but points of access into the heart of God. I want to give you three other things to use as filters for knowing God's voice. And as I do that, our worship team can come and get ready to lead us. Three things. Be in prayer. When you do hear that whisper or sense as though you have heard that whisper, ask God. Be in prayer. God, is this from you? It's a perfect place to start. Secondly, test it against Scripture. What I'm sensing, what I'm feeling, does it align with God's word? Another form of God's revelation to us, another way he speaks to us. Are the messages in line? And the third one, for those that are journeying with us, does my anchor crew agree? And if that doesn't resonate with you, you're like, what's anchor crew? It means, does my Christian community, the people that are I am sharing my life with, if I was to share and be open with them about this, would it be something that they agree with? Are there other people that are in agreement with what God is saying in my life? God is speaking. He's whispering to you. Are you aware? Are you attentive? Are you available? And are you assessing the voice of God? Let's continue to worship together.